All right. We're actually now joined today. We now have Jordan here as one of our other co-presenters. But now we've also got our second guest for the program, who's actually another presenter of ours, actually, but he's on the phone this time around. We have Zane Alcorn here. So, yeah, good morning, Zane.
Good morning to you, comrade.
Yeah, so I think we're gonna have a bit of you attended this important rally in Newcastle for a wind farm.
Yes.
I guess one of the things that you wrote for your article in Green Left was it was quite a large protest and demonstrated the kind of broad support for this from this wind farm. But one of the kind of political issues has been that there has been this sort of ongoing kind of right-wing campaign against wind power in the lead-up to this protest. And I guess I want to kind of hear, I want to start off the discussion by telling us about this sort of right-wing sort of backlash and this ongoing right-wing campaign against wind power. And yeah, and then we can talk a bit about the protest.
Yeah, sure. So, this protest is based mainly out of Port Stephens, which is a little town about 45 minutes north of Newcastle, or Mullumbimby, as it was known back in the day. And what looks like has happened is that there's a bunch of people who were doing a bunch of anti-vaxxer stuff through the pandemic, and that's all kind of behind us now. The lockdowns are finished, so they need something else to latch onto. So you've got these cookers that don't like 15-minute cities and have conspiratorial views about this, that, and the other. And they've decided that they don't like the wind farm and they're going to campaign against it. They're linking up with One Nation, the Shooters and Fishers Party, the National Party, and the Liberals, and they're saying, we don't want this offshore wind farm. And they're being fed disinformation from fossil fuel-funded far-right groups in the USA who say, oh, offshore wind kills whales and, you know, it's gonna kill all the birds, particularly whales. And then that this other group that's involved is Port Stephens is home to a bunch of kind of, I guess you would call them petty bourgeois business owners who have whale watching, dolphin watching, and also charter fishing boats that will leave from Port Stephens and then go out into the areas of the ocean where this wind farm is and go fishing. It's important to note that this wind farm is going to be located, I think it's 25 kilometres offshore, and the uppermost part of the offshore wind farm is pretty much in line with Port Stephens. So there's still plenty of ocean out there that doesn't have wind farms in it that people can still go whale watching and still go fishing. But these people, who I think are probably the kind of people who normally vote One Nation or Liberal or whatever, have decided, we don't want this wind farm because it's going to ruin our fishing industry and rah, rah. So, yeah, there's this kind of grab bag of people varying from centre-right to far-right. And in terms of the electoral boundaries, that area, Port Stephens, is a kind of a Labor-Liberal marginal area. So at a state or a federal election, that seat will sometimes go to the Libs and it will sometimes go to Labor. So it's a real, it's a bit of a pinch point in terms of, at the moment, both of those seats are held by Labor politicians. And so it's clear that there's this attempt to try and whip up opposition to this wind farm, and part of what they're trying to do, other than stop the wind farm going ahead, is to try and win that seat back for some right-wing Liberal candidate instead of a Labor candidate.
This is Rob Zocchi here. Yeah, Newcastle. I'm trying to learn all the indigenous names, but the one for Newcastle is really difficult. It's something like, do you know it? Mullumbimby or something like that.
No, Mullumbimby is further north.
Mullumbimby. Oh, right.
Newcastle.
Yeah, anyway.
I only know that because my grandfather worked at the floating dock there. And yeah, the floating dock was named Mulubinda.
Yeah, I have to learn them. I mean, Nam is so easy for Melbourne. Anyway, wind farms, my goodness. You know, the great far-right broadcaster Alan Jones, who will shortly not be with us, always used to go on and on and on about these bloody wind farms. I think his problem was, number one, people who supported them were these dreadful kind of soft environmentalists, so he never liked them. The other thing he didn't like was the noise that they made. But anyway, I guess what I really wanted to ask you was, you know, I know Newcastle, sorry, I still can't say the name. I know Port Stephens very well, and I have, when I lived in Sydney, I visited there many times. At the protest that you attended just recently, I'd love to get a feel for what actually happened on the ground. You know, was there any action? How many people were there? And exactly what they did to really disrupt the operations of this company?
Well, there's no company per se, yes. And in terms of the wind farm, the anti-wind farm people in Port Stephens, I think they had a rally maybe in October, November last year. And this was not a small rally. Apparently drew about 3,000 people. And I think they just heard from a grab bag of people who don't like wind farms. And I kind of think of Barnaby Joyce. I know that there was another anti-renewables rally in Canberra on February 6th, and Barnaby Joyce spoke at that, and so did a whole long list of you know, right-wingers and cookers and so on. So I think there's been a couple of rallies in Port Stephens, but yeah, I couldn't really tell you the specifics. But there's no company as yet. There's been a union campaign to get the federal Labor government to declare a offshore wind zone. There was a period of consultation. They've declared the offshore wind zone, and now it's sort of in the planning stages of the wind farm. I think there's Norwegian company Equinor, who do oil production but also renewables. I think they made an expression of interest. But, yeah, there's a long way to go yet before anything gets built, and that will be quite a process. So, yeah, there's no real company or anything to blockade at this stage.
Hey, Zane. So you're with Jordan now. So in your article, you quote Stephen Murphy, the AMWU and New South Wales secretary, who acknowledged the importance of all the comrades in both the union movement and those in the environmental movement. Now, you know, historically there has been a bit of an effort by right-wing politicians mostly to counterpose these two. You know, often we're in the situation where it's jobs versus the environment. However, more and more we're starting to see a confluence between the two with the notion that, well, fighting climate change and environmental degradation, this is union business. So just wondering if you can tell the listeners a little bit about why it is so important that the union movement be involved in the process of phasing out fossil fuels.
Yeah, sure. So I think this rally was quite good, and it was spearheaded by Hunter workers, what used to be called Newcastle Trades Hall Council, and it was endorsed by 12 different unions, as well as a few different community environment groups. And I guess over the years, it hasn't just been right-wing politicians, but it's also been some more conservative union officials in fossil fuel-dominated industries who have made this argument that if you support phasing out fossil fuels, you're anti-worker. So it is quite significant, I think, to see Steve Murphy. I think Steve is these days the national secretary of the AMWU. And Steve has got his welding trade in Newcastle back in the 80s. And has been a key proponent of the Hunter Jobs Alliance, which brings together unionists and environmentalists. And, yeah, I think it's really significant to see what was a big union rally and a bunch of union leaders. So there was Steve Murphy from the AMWU, but there was also Lee Shears who's the Secretary of Hunter Workers, who emceed the rally. There was Joe and Jazz from the MUA, Teresa Hetherington from the United Workers Union, and Deanna Richardson, who's a PSA member and is on local council. And most of these union members weren't just saying, let's make sure this wind farm goes ahead. They were really making the case that this is going to provide a large amount of ongoing jobs so that as the global coal industry starts to decline, there's going to be alternative jobs getting created in this region so that people can start going into those jobs. And so this is, I think, very significant because in the past, unions, some of the more progressive kind of climate conscious unions have kind of made sort of words to these effects, but this was something that was union led, this rally, and there was a bunch of unionists who, as far as I'm aware, are all Labor Party members, really digging in their heels and saying, we have to have a transition here in this region, and it's the world's largest coal port, towards alternative jobs. And I think that's very significant. And I think it's, you know, what these unionists who are more like from the working class base of the Labor Party were saying, I don't think is the same line that the leadership of the ALP is pushing. And so that's where I think it's politically quite significant. Is these unions are trying to pressure the Labor Party to take a better position. Today it's a wind farm, but tomorrow I think it could go further than that, and that's very exciting because I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, Zane, I'm well aware that you are a construction worker and a member of the CFMEU Construction Forestry Mining Energy Union, which in the old days in the 60s and 70s was actually the BLF, the Builders Labourers Federation. Mm-hmm. Builders Labourers Federation has an incredible history of not only agitating for better conditions for construction workers, but for taking on wider political issues. And in Sydney, the Green Bands were very, very famous. And I go up there to the Rocks and the other sites and see all the sort of photographs and memorials to the Green Bands. Now, I wanted you to comment on the way that unions can be political, even... I can remember blue-collar workers from the Builders Labourers Federation supported the rights of gays and lesbians in the 70s. All these, you know, really rough, stereotypical blue-collar workers did this. And I believe that the CFMEU today is still doing this, but you'll know better because you're a member and you're a construction worker.
Yeah, I mean, I think the CFMEU supported the... Equal marriage campaign. Mm-hmm. And yeah, certainly the CFMEU, along with the MUA, the ETU and the AMWU have been the key unions really pushing for this Hunter Offshore Wind project to go ahead as a transition project. I'm pretty sure recently the mining and energy division of the CFMEU disaffiliated. I know that there was a big court brouhaha to see if they could get away with that, and I think they did disaffiliate. So the Mining and Energy Division of the CFMEU that covers coal mining workers, they are pretty backwards on this question. But yeah, the construction part of the CFMEU, they've been trying to unionise all the onshore renewables projects that are happening in rural parts of Victoria and New South Wales. And it's challenging because the union is not really, the union movement in general is not as strong as it was 50 or 60 years ago, and especially in little rural towns. So that's been a real challenge, but the CFMEU is very conscious that it's really important to unionise these job sites hundreds of kilometres away out in rural parts of the country, because otherwise you'll have all the same issues that you have in the city. You'll have poor job safety, and you'll also have, you know, contractors, you know, cheap labour being bought in that undercuts the union labour. And so I think as part of that process, see if any of you have realised, hang on, there's a lot of jobs in this, and if we can unionise this properly, that's going to be really a new frontier for building the union and securing good pay and conditions, and making sure these job sites that are, you know, we're talking about putting up wind turbines that are 200 metres high, there's a lot of room for serious safety issues. So I think the union is very conscious of the safety angle as well. So, it's interesting how, I guess, by seeking to unionise those renewable sites and realising that there's a huge pipeline of big jobs that need to be unioned, that's kind of, the union has now arrived at, well, we'd need to be forward thinking and pushing for these offshore wind farms as well, because they're a critical part of getting to 100% renewables, and they're going to be a big source of union jobs.
All right. Well, Zane, we're reaching kind of the end of kind of the interview. I think it's been a very good discussion, especially talking about workers' transition. Do you have any final comments that you'd like to make?
Probably the final thing I'd like to say is that there was two young women from the MUA, Joe and Jazz, and they were talking about the opportunity for well-paid blue-collar jobs for women in a male-dominated, traditionally a male-dominated industry. And I very clearly, you know, switched on about the climate angle and saying this is clean energy jobs for our future, and we need to do it. It's a no-brainer. It's creating alternative jobs so that the Hunter can transition away from coal exports. And another speaker who I really liked was Teresa Hetherington, who is from the United Workers Union. She's an aged care worker. Teresa was talking about climate action is union business, and she was saying, I see the impacts of climate change already every day in my job, because I'm driving from house to house to provide assistance to people, and they won't turn on their air conditioner because they can't afford it and it's scorching hot, and I've got to work in the heat because it's their house and it's their choice whether they have the air con on or not. And meanwhile, we've got underpaid, you know, people in caring industries like aged care, disability care, who can't get to their clients and care for them when there's these massive floods in Queensland, and their employer is making them use up all their annual leave because there's a flood and they can't get to work. And so she's like, this is bad for workers and we need to be taking action. And yeah, I thought it was a really, she wasn't just saying, let's build this because it's a source of jobs. She was saying, yeah, it is a source of jobs, that's great. But Teresa was also making the point, union action, climate action is union business, and we've got to get onto this. So, yeah, it was really excellent to see some staunch women speaking at this rally and making the case really well. And I'm someone who's critical of the Labor Party as the alternative ruling party of capitalism here in Australia. But if there's rank and file union members from the ALP who want to dig in and fight for this, I think that's a really significant development, and I'm real happy to work with those people to make sure this wind farm goes ahead and to make sure that we have a transition. I think it's really exciting to see.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for that, Zane. And yeah, we'll possibly see you on our program as a co-presenter at some point. So
indeed, I'll be back.